Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stogie for the Road podcast. I am your host, Stogie, and I'm here in my humble abode in my little studio here, bringing another episode to you. Like I said, I would. We're doing all kinds of new stuff. It's been a whole new, I guess, change in the framework, our mindset, the Backroom Brotherhood. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of huge, huge eye-opening moments for me personally. And obviously, that's going to transfer over to what I create. So, had a pretty hectic last few weeks. About 2.5 weeks ago, I got news that my uncle took his own life. You know, and the funny thing was I got that call from the same person in almost the same way as I got the call about my mother taking her own life. Mental illness is a very common thing amongst people, amongst families. I bet if it isn't you, it's definitely somebody close to you that is struggling with mental illness, or it's been an impact in your life in some way, shape, or form. Well, it's been a huge thing in my life. Years ago, my mother took her own life when I was 21 years old. And her brother, just a few weeks ago, met the same fate. He dealt with a lot of addiction issues, but not the type of addictions you'd think of, drugs or anything like that. The guy was actually a health nut. He was big in the bodybuilding community. He was an absolute pioneer in the health and fitness industry. I'm not going to give any details, but he definitely made his mark in the industry. But he had other addictions. And he had a definite depression battle that he was fighting. Addictions can run the whole gamut, from addictions to drugs to sex addiction, rage addiction, all of that. And the way your family interacts with you based upon these things can go from being supportive and healthy almost to what pushes you straight into the grave, whether you like it or not. There are usually, when you're dealing with this, when it comes to family, with depression issues or, you know, struggle with suicidal ideation or that type of thinking pattern, one of the most difficult things about that is, what's the right thing to say? Because everybody's different. Everybody's issues are different. Everybody's problems are different. So you find yourself struggling for the right thing to say to them. And a lot of people, like my family included, with these situations, once my mother and my uncle saw these things through, found themselves saying, I tried everything. I tried everything. I said this, I said this, I said this, I tried this, I tried this, I tried this. And they ultimately start taking it on themselves that they wish they could have done more. They don't realize that sometimes people's brains just say, do it, do it, do it. It's very common for people right before they commit suicide to actually be really happy. You see these videos all the time that this was this person 2 days before they took their own life and they were smiling and happy and joking. Yeah, of course they were. Because they knew the pain and the struggle and the agony of fighting for one more day is almost over. It's really sad. And it's so commonplace, especially with men, considering we make up 70 to 80% of most suicides in this country, is that we continue to gnaw on the people that we love. We continue to berate the people we love. We continue to push the people we love and beat on them and force your controlling will upon them. And they, you don't understand that the people that are on the receiving end of that, they're thinking, you don't care about me. You just want me to get better so you don't have to worry about me anymore. You could give a fuck if I'm happy on the inside. Just as long as my sadness doesn't inconvenience you. So it typically goes in one ear and out the other. And then, congratulations, you now are going to be serving a life sentence of regret and sadness, knowing that you will never, ever, ever get to right whatever you think is wrong. Where does this happen the most? Family. Usually your loved ones, usually the people closest to you. It's not a guy walking down the street that says something to you that's so hurtful that makes you want to take your own life. Typically, it's the person that you love the most that expresses their dissatisfaction with you to such a great degree that you cannot figure out a way to do this anymore. Almost like you feel like you're doing that individual a favor if you just take yourself out of this life so you don't have to inconvenience the people that you love anymore. Oh, that's really sad. It's really, really sad. How do we get past that? Well, we get educated. Now, we don't get educated solely based upon just the neurochemistry or the point of origin on where this comes from. You have to get educated based upon the dynamic of how you got here. What family members did this? Somebody set this in motion, possibly, unless there's some deeply rooted neurological issue that you have. And what we're going to talk about today is the things that you can recognize and you can have control of. And that's what this podcast is about. Today's podcast is entitled, When the People You Love Become the People You Escape. Breaking free from manipulative family dynamics. Today's episode is not a rant. This one's a breakdown. This is about something every man listening to has dealt with, whether you admit it or not. See, because I'm talking about the moment when the people closest to you, the people you've loved the longest, the people who should know your heart, become the ones you have to walk away from to survive. This one's personal to me. I'm not dragging names or details into this. This is just about patterns and behaviors and psychology, cycles. And how men get trapped into them for years, sometimes decades. There's a reason good men lose themselves in guilt. There's a reason manipulators always look like heroes. And there's a reason the loudest person in the room is usually the one hiding the darkest shit. Well, today we're going to break that down. The people who break you aren't always strangers. You ever notice how the hardest battles in life aren't the ones out in the world? They're usually the ones inside your own damn family. They're not the haters, not the coworkers, not the people on the internet. It's the people who know.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Know your past, your weak spots, your failures, your triggers, your guilt. They know your blueprint. They know your wiring. And if they're damaged enough, they use that against you. You think you're having a normal disagreement, and suddenly you're being hit with 10-year-old sins, twisted memories, and that good old rewritten history. Because some people don't argue to solve anything. Very rarely do they do that. They argue to win, to control, to dominate, or to distract from their own nasty fucking mess. There's always a ringleader. That all too familiar ringleader dynamic. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's one of your grown kids. Maybe it's an ex. But there's always that one who rallies the troops, amplifies drama, creates alliances, stirs emotion, sends out the narrative, paints themselves as the protector. They don't do it because they care. They do it because they need control. They're usually the people that speak the loudest, react the hardest, and push the narrative the furthest. Why do they do that? Because the loudest accuser is usually the one terrified of being exposed. Now think about that. A healthy person doesn't need to turn a whole family against one single individual. A healthy person doesn't campaign. A healthy person doesn't need an army. Only someone who needs to protect themselves does that. The addict / victim mentality. That's another one. Let's talk about that addict / victim dynamic. Because this one wrecks entire bloodlines, folks. When someone lives in addiction or untreated trauma or rage or constant chaos, they get addicted to a certain identity. And that identity is, I'm the victim. Everything bad that happens is caused by someone else. Nothing is my fault. I deserve sympathy, protection, and validation. So what happens? Every fucking conflict, every disagreement, every boundary you set, every moment you choose yourself goes through that filter. The people trapped in victimhood, your growth is an attack. Your boundaries are betrayal. Your independence is abandonment. Your peace is disrespect. Your silence is guilt. And your healing, well, that's a personal assault against them. And they respond with the only tools they know. Guilt, manipulation, smear, emotional collapse, rage, self-destruction, weaponizing the past, and then recruiting others. Because losing the victim identity would mean facing their own reflection. And some people would rather burn every fucking relationship in their life than do that. Smear campaigns. See, a smear campaign doesn't start because you're a bad person. It starts because someone needs you to look like the bad person. Because that benefits them. People smear you, usually, because they fear losing control. They fear exposure. They fear accountability. They fear being replaced. They fear losing their power dynamic. And they fear the truth surfacing. So they attack preemptively. They always do that. They flip the family. They twist your words. They rewrite the past. They attack your character. They gather allies. They weaponize your mistakes. They turn everything into a fucking pattern. Now, they turn people against you before you can defend yourself. Now, why do they do that? Because it's easier to destroy your credibility than to deal with the truth of their own sick, twisted, old behavior. Oh, but then you have the trauma bonds with your family. This is the hardest part for most to admit. See, we don't stay stuck because we're weak. We stay stuck because we're bonded to that pain. A trauma bond with a partner is hard. A trauma bond with a parent is worse. But a trauma bond with your own kids, that is a whole different level of hell. Because no matter how old they are, you still see them as 5-year-old kids you were supposed to protect, even when you didn't know how. And they know that. And manipulators know that. And that guilt is used as a leash. Men get trapped in these loops for fucking decades, folks. And defending themselves, apologizing, over-explaining, trying to fix the unfixable, trying to heal the people who don't want to be healed, and trying to earn a forgiveness that was never going to fucking come. Trauma bonds aren't chains on your wrists. They're gigantic chains and locks on your heart. So how do you break the cycle? It's the big age-old question. You break out of this cycle not by fighting, not by yelling, not by defending yourself, not by begging people to understand you, not by proving who you were or weren't. You break it by doing one thing manipulators fear the most, by becoming boring, calm, neutral, unreactive, unavailable, predictable. And focused on yourself. You stop feeding the chaos and you stop entering that bullshit arena. You say, I'm taking space. You say, I'm not discussing this. That topic is closed. I hear you, but I'm still taking my distance. And I'm done explaining myself. And then you follow through. The moment you stop reacting, they lose power. Because manipulators don't know how to fight calm. They only know how to fight chaos. Walking away without hating anyone. This part is going to piss a lot of people off, but it's the fucking truth, folks. You can walk away from people without hating them. You can love someone and still not be able to be around them at all. You can even forgive someone. And still not trust them. You can care about people and still choose yourself first. Sometimes that's the only way you're going to save your own life. It's by disappointing everyone who benefited from your destruction. Sometimes the only way to get healthy is to let relationships die that were already dead inside. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do for yourself is to walk out of that fire, even if your whole damn family stays in it. If you're listening right now and you're in a similar situation, brother, you're not crazy. You're not broken. You're not the villain. You're just finally waking up. And waking up pisses a lot of people off. You have to stay strong. You have to stay focused. Stay dangerous and stay free. Because if you don't, you'll be the enemy anyway. But you'll be in chains and fucking miserable. You'll be filling that proverb.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The old bucket full of holes. The moment you become the enemy. You ever have that moment where you wake up one day and realize you're the villain in the story you didn't even write? Or the people you love took creative liberties with it? One day you're the father, the brother, the son. The man trying to do his best. The next day, you're the monster in everybody else's fantasy world. Let me tell you something that most fucking men won't admit out loud, at least. You don't become the enemy because you're dangerous. You become the enemy because you stop being controllable. You become the enemy because you stopped apologizing for shit you didn't even do. You become the enemy because you stop letting people walk through your life like renters who never paid the damn bill. You become the enemy because you grew and they didn't. Weak people don't hate you. They hate the version of themselves they see when you finally stand up. A family who plays God. There are family members out there who don't want peace. They want power, and you know it. God, man, if I'd a nickel. They sit on their little thrones built out of gossip and half-truths. They act like they're the moral authority of the bloodline. They decide who's righteous and who's condemned. They're not protecting the family. They're protecting their ego. A lot of family protectors are just cowards hiding behind loud voices. A lot of family leaders are just tyrants who never grew up. And a lot of family martyrs are just manipulators who figured out that being pitiful gets them attention. In that moment that you stop worshiping at their little fucking altar, you're cast out. Good. You finally stop praying to people who think they're God. You know why? Because the sins they blame you for are usually their own. This is Psychological Warfare 101. People project the very thing they're guilty of. The liar calls you dishonest. The manipulator calls you controlling. The addict calls you unstable. The cheater calls you disloyal. The coward calls you dangerous. The abuser calls you abusive. You see what's going on here? When someone spends all their time talking about your flaws, it's usually because they know if the spotlight ever swung in their direction, it's fucking over. So they stay loud. They sure as fuck stay dramatic. And they definitely stay outraged. Because that good old-fashioned outrage, that keeps that good old-fashioned truth buried. How they weaponize your past. There's a special kind of evil in using someone's past as ammunition. Every man listening knows what I'm talking about. You screw up once as a father, or a million times as a father in my case. They carry that story around like it's a fucking family heirloom. You raise your voice 15 years ago. It becomes who you always were. You make one mistake, suddenly, they built an entire identity around you, reminding you of it. That's not accountability, that's punishment. And punishment is the currency of people who don't want to grow. And what happens? Good men break. Why do good men break down? Let me tell you something about men nobody says out loud. Good men break the hardest. Why? Because we actually care. We think about our mistakes. Fuck, I'll tell you right now, my mistakes tear my guts out. Daily. And I'll remember them till the day I die. We own our shit. We try every day to do better. I carry my guilt like it's welded to my fucking ribcage. And we internalize everything. So when a family member points at you and says, "You're the problem," our first instinct isn't to defend that. It's to examine ourselves. We think, maybe I deserved that. Maybe I messed up more than I realized. Maybe they're right. Maybe I failed. Maybe I owe them. Meanwhile, the people accusing you haven't owned a thing in their entire fucking lives. And the reason you feel like you're losing your own damn mind isn't because you're wrong. It's because you're surrounded by people who thrive on never being held accountable. Hence why I have a dead mother and a dead uncle. How to rebuild your identity after they destroy it. You want to know how to do it? How do you rebuild yourself after you see your own family try to rip you apart? Well, you stop asking their permission to be a good man. It starts there. You stop letting people who never healed judge your healing. You stop letting people who never took responsibility for their sins define yours. You stop letting people who live in the past decide your future. People that live in the past, I tell you what. I used to hear that all the time, and it reminded me of a scene from The Sopranos where Tony stands up when everybody's talking about the remember whens. Remember back then when we did this? Tony stands up, buttons his sport coat, and he goes, "You know, there's a saying. Remember when is the lowest form of conversation." You start doing the one thing manipulators hate the most, folks. You become a man who doesn't need their approval to breathe. Rebuilding your identity has nothing to fucking do with them at all. It starts with silence. It grows with clarity. It stabilizes with boundaries. Rock solid boundaries. And it becomes unstoppable when you realize their version of me isn't my responsibility anymore. My old boss told me one time, he says, your job is to get them to 18. After that, it's on them. You still advise them. You still love them. The days of wiping their ass are over. What do men learn when they stand alone? You one, learn who your real friends are. You definitely learn who your real family is. You learn who you were without all their noise. You learn that the world didn't collapse when those people left. You learn that standing alone isn't punishment. It's purification. When the dust settles and the smear campaign burns itself out, you're still standing. And every single one of you men listening knows this. There is nothing more dangerous than a man who survived the fire and came out clear-eyed and calm. That man isn't controlled anymore. That man isn't guilt-ridden anymore. And that man isn't playing anyone's emotional puppet support bullshit game anymore. He's free. Let me tell you something every man needs to hear. The family who couldn't break you will eventually have to live with the fact that you walked through their hell and came out your own man. You don't need their approval. You don't need their forgiveness anymore. You don't need their version of you. You don't need their bullshit stories, and you don't need their gosh damn chaos. You only need one thing. The courage to walk away. Walk away from the people who benefit from your pain, who live off of it, who thrive on it. If you're listening to this right now and you're going through this, and your family is tearing you apart like fucking jackals, and your kids blame you for every goddamn mistake they're making, or every mistake they plan to make, or their bullshit sins that they can't stop hiding. And you have an ex out there spinning the narratives, or someone is just smearing you. Please listen to me. You're not crazy. You're not the villain. You're not broken. You're waking up. And the moment a man wakes up, the whole damn system panics, and you know it. Let me close this podcast out with something real. It's close to home. It's authentically me. I want to share something that every father listening needs to hear, including the ones that won't admit it out loud. I failed a lot as a father. Not once, not twice, a million damn times. I just turned 21 when I became a dad. She had two kids by two different fathers, and we had one on the way. I failed as a young father trying to figure out life when life was already beating the shit out of me. I failed when I didn't know how to communicate. I failed when I didn't know how to love right. I failed when I was carrying my own demons and didn't want anyone to see them. I failed when I tried to be strong and ended up being silent. I failed when I didn't know how to show up the way my kids needed. And I live with those failures every single day. Not because someone screams them at me. You don't need to. I scream them at myself. You know why? Because I'm a man who reflects. I'm a man who thinks. I'm a man who cares. But hear me clearly. The beating on me days, they're fucking over. I've paid my pound of flesh a million times over for my mistakes. I've already owned all of them. I'm done being the family punching bag, or the friend's punching bag, or the coworker's punching bag. I'm done being the villain in bullshit stories that don't belong to me anymore. I'm so fucking done with guilt being the chain around my throat. I'm done letting people weaponize my past because it makes them feel better about theirs. I've spent years, and I mean years, alone, trying to be better, and I try every damn day. I wake up and I try again. I show up and I try again. I fail and I try again. I fall and I try again. Not because anyone demands that of me, because that's who I am now. I will always take ownership of my life. I will always take responsibility for my growth. But I never again will take responsibility for someone else's narrative. And man, do I mean it. I'm done being broken down so other people can feel built up. And I am sure as fuck done carrying sins that aren't mine. And I am done apologizing for a man that I no longer am. If you want to see me as the enemy, you go ahead. If you want to cling to old stories, be my guest. If you want to pretend I'm the same man I was years ago, go ahead. But I'm walking forward and I'm not turning back to argue with ghosts, especially not those that insist upon staying stagnant and still. To every man listening to this, please hear me. Every one of you who has ever drowned in guilt, to every man who has ever bent his back just to be accepted, stand the hell up. Straighten your spine. Take your name back. Take your life back. And roll forward. This chapter of being beaten down, this chapter is done. What's the next chapter? That's the one where you walk like a man who survived it all and refuses to go backwards ever again. And that backwards means you don't get to make excuses to do the things you used to. Because you've learned from them like a man. You don't get to hurt people like you used to. Because you've grown like a man. And you do that over and over again. And you can stand tall and be admired like a man. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of A Stogie for the Road podcast. I hope this finds you all happy, healthy, loving, and living life. Even if that means you having to do that without the family that you love. You're worth it. You just have to believe it. I'll see you next time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.